Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line where a Hall of Famer is joining us. Kevin McHale, NBA great, former head coach in the NBA, former GM in the NBA. We'll pick on that expertise in a second. But last time we talked to you, Coach, was ahead of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And you thought, you know, Celtics body language, not great. You kind of figured the Warriors were going to win Game 6. They did. I want to ask you, from an NBA great that was part of a dynasty, what do you think this NBA Finals means to the Warrior dynasty and to the legacy of Steph Curry?
I think it extends their dynasty, really, because you know, they had three championships in, 6 years? But then for five years, they were out of it. I mean, they had injuries. They weren't even in the playoffs. And so they were just an asterisk. And then they got healthy. Clay came back and they played better. So it really extended their run, because a lot of runs end then. If you'd asked me about Golden State, I would have said their run's going to end just like a lot of teams' runs end when their top players get hurt and they can't perform anymore. But this one, you know, extends it, and I really think they have an opportunity now to get into that, which is really hard to do. You know, they're always going to have that 2-year respite in there where they didn't do anything just because of injuries and they weren't together. But if you can start getting into the point where you're relevant for 8-10 years, that's like 2 or 3 generations. You know, a generation in life is, 10 to 15 years. Every generation or so that changes. In basketball, it's every 3 or 4 years is a generation. And that puts them into those categories where very few teams like were able to sustain anything for that long. A lot of the runs are just shorter. You know, the Spurs were unbelievable. The old Celtics of old were unbelievable with Russell and those guys. But a lot of the teams, they had a 2 or 3 or 5 year window where they did really well and played well, and then it was over. I thought that was Golden State, but they proved that to be wrong. I didn't like the body language with Boston. They had kind of demoralized them in Game 5. And, as soon as things started going south in Game 6, Boston kind of folded the tent on that 21-0 run. And so it was frustrating for a Celtics fan. But, the better team won, no question.
Coach, if you're looking at that from the perspective of trying to keep that group together, they're ready already over the cap. They have 7 guys that are free agents. And Bob says that he expects to try and keep all of them. I mean, how realistic is that? How difficult of a challenge is that going to be to try and keep that group together when you have the likes of Poole and some of the guys that were key contributors that could go out and get more money elsewhere?
Well, it's going to be tough, boy. The one thing is you can pay your own guys what you want, but the luxury tax becomes so penalizing that it's hard to do that. It's going to be really, really interesting. You got Wiseman coming up. You got these young guys in there that will probably have a bigger role during the regular season. I think Kerr is going to try to just nurse Green along and Klay Thompson and Steph to the regular season, probably give them some time off and some other stuff. Let the younger guys take over for a while. So their value will go up. It's going to be hard to keep that group together. Poole's done a tremendous job there. They developed him, went from the G League up and played really well. And there are teams out there that are saying, hey, we want to get some guys that come from winning teams. And, when you come from a winning team, that always makes a big difference. I know that you've been around a winning culture. And so many of these guys haven't been. It just gives you a leg up. And so, I'm sure that all those guys are going to be having value, be valued by other teams out there, and the money's going to get ridiculous if they're going to try to keep everybody together.
Hall of Famer Kevin McHale joining us on the HR&P guest line, also coach in the NBA, general manager in the NBA, drafted Kevin Garnett. Whenever you look at this draft, asking you to put your GM hat on for a second, how do you view, especially the top 3 picks with the Rockets selecting number 3 tonight?
Well, I think the Rockets are in good shape. They're going to get a really good player. I think it's some of those big wings that are there. Yeah, I really like them. If those two, if the two two big wings go, and all of a sudden you're left with Holmgren. And maybe you're not a Holmgren friend. I don't know. If you're not, that's a good time to trade back three or four spots. There's teams out there that are probably dying to, you know, get Holmgren there at three. And move and get another big wing. Get another guy that, you know, that plays a little different, even though, you know, Holmgren's 7'2" probably. Very, very, you know, light body, very light frame. But he moves his feet well and can guard. But, you know, it depends on what you want. I would say right now, if you're Houston, hopefully you've done all your due diligence and have some move back ability. If the two guys, if you really like two of the three guys and the two guys are gone, one and two, that's a good time to move back to 5, 6, 7. You can pick up extra draft choices. You can do some other stuff and probably get a big high quality wing. Because right now, you know, the big man is, you know, really kind of not that important in the league. You look at, you look at Golden State, who they won with their big. I mean, that being a big guy in this league right now is not that important.
Okay, Coach, keep the hat on, because I've always been intrigued by this, and I know some degree what happens at the office. But when does it start heating up as a general manager, and can you go home? What's the last 24 hours like heading into a draft in terms of, you mentioned, from the whiteboards that I know that were in all the basketball guys' offices and the where you had the scenarios laid out in terms of if your guy's there or not, to when does the phone stop ringing? Is there a time you go home and sleep? I mean, it's got to be unbelievable, the last 24 hours or so leading into the draft.
Yeah, it is. I think that, you know, if you're going to get trades done and it's a bigger trade and you want to get stuff done, it's usually like the day before the draft or the morning of. Those last few days, everybody, it gets hectic. And you talk to a lot of teams, and then you've got to call up and say, look, we talked about X, Y, and Z. Will you do it? And if the answer is no, everybody moves on. You get more rejection in the last 24 hours. All these trades you talked about, everything goes away. Some happen. But right now, everybody's on the phone trying to. And then you know what happens about 2 o'clock this afternoon, 3 o'clock this afternoon. You know, everything's pretty much set. And you go into it. Every once in a while, you'll have that crazy call that comes in. And you try throwing a deal together within 5 minutes, which is really hard to do. But it's exciting, and yeah, you don't sleep very well. You sleep well tonight, that's for sure, because you haven't been sleeping well for the last 10 days. But tonight, if you're the GM, you go to bed after the draft, and you know your team's pretty much assembled. You try to go to work getting them together to play in the summer.
Coach, you've been in this spot before. I'm sure you've had young teams that you've either, you know, with the GM of, coached, or played on. Knowing the Rockets have a very youthful roster and putting a lot of, you know, a heavy load on the young players, namely Jalen Green, the Rockets have 3 first-rounders tonight. Do you think they will use them all or maybe try to couple, you know, maybe the last two to move up in the draft?
Well, you know, man, I tell you what, I would use my picks to move out of the draft. I think I'd pick 3. And then, unless there's somebody that you're dying to get at 10, 11, 12, and maybe try to package up, what do they have, 17 and something else,
yep,
and 20-something.
26.
And 26, yeah. Then, you know, try to use those to move up some. But if not, man, there's going to be teams that want people at 17. You get their first-round pick next year. I mean, you got to be selective as to what you do. When I left Boston, I went to Minnesota, and I helped out my first year there. They had all young guys. They had no leadership. And it was a disaster. I looked at it and thought, oh, my God. My first year in the NBA, as a player, we had all veteran guys. And those young guys, Larry and I, were really the only 2 young guys on the team. And I thought, what a difference. I'm watching these guys. I'm thinking they're learning how to lose. They're just, you know, and I think I've never liked that. That just, you know, I've never liked getting 5 or 6 young guys all together, all competing with each other for the top dog spot. And they're more interested in competing with each other than they are with the other team. And I'm not a big fan of that. I think Houston's young. You got some talent. You take your guy at 3. You move around. You try to get a couple of veterans in. You maybe, you know, you try to stock up some draft choices for the future, but getting younger right now is just going to be a disaster. I don't think Coach Silas can. I don't think Coach Silas or any coach can handle that. It's too hard.
All right, Coach. If you sit there and look at what Kyrie Irving is trying to do to manipulate the Nets, he played 60% of the games over the last 3 years. He sits out whenever he wants to, but yet he believes he should get a fully guaranteed max deal at for 4 years. The Nets are said to be basically saying, no, hold on, we're going to do a shorter-term deal, and there's going to be clauses and games played, and he's not too happy about that. Is there another team in the league that conceivably would say, yeah, I'm signing up for that for 4 years guaranteed money, and he can continue to do whatever the hell he wants to do?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, he just has not been available, and he's taken off some time. He's got personal time, and it just sounds like everything you hear, and actually even in Boston, it was really disruptive. You know, you don't hear about a lot of that until he leaves. But he's very disruptive in Boston, too, to the team and to the whole chemistry. And I don't think so. I think that he's going to find himself in a situation where he's going to have a contract that's going to have a lot of clauses in there, games played, minutes played, you know, whatever, and he's going to have to deal with it. I mean, that's just the bet he has made in the NBA. He doesn't have to sleep in it now.
Kevin McHale, always great getting your insight, especially on the day of the NBA draft, in which the Rockets have three first-rounders, a big day for this franchise. Coach, always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up again very soon.
Okay, take care, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Kevin McHale, basketball legend, Hall of Famer, sharing some insight. 713-780-ESPN. We'll talk plenty of draft throughout the rest of the show. 713-780-3776. But coming up next, Lovie Smith, of all the first-year head coaches, I know it's Lovie Smith's third job in the NFL, but of all the new first-year head coaches, why Lovie Smith has the least pressure of them all, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.